First three of the readings this morning is from Proverbs. The words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles, and they go down in the inmost body. A talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is of faithful spirit conceals the matter. Where there is no wood, the fire goes out. And where there is no talebearer, strife ceases. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 13, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things that they ought not. Romans 1, verse 28, 29, and 30, God gave them over to be a debased mind, to do those things which are not fitting. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. And then the last in Leviticus 19. You should go about as a talebearer among your people, nor shall you take a stand against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord. You shall not hate your brother in your heart. You shall surely rebuke your neighbor and not bear sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord.
Good morning, everyone. It's good to see all of you here today. Before we get into the lesson, I need to pass along a note that I failed to give to Andy earlier, and that is that Donna Lathrop is home dealing with some pretty serious foot issues. The doctor wants her to stay off her feet, so that's why she's not here this morning. So we need to keep Donna in our prayers. Jimmy read in our hearing now several passages out of both the Old and the New Testaments that have a common theme, and I hope that you were able to pick out that theme, and that is, of course, gossip. The word gossip is found, I think, in only one of the passages that we looked at, but then there are there's other language that's used in the other verses that are synonyms. Words like whispering, or backbiting, or talebearer. There are other passages in the Bible that use the word slander in the sense of gossip or spreading unkind information about others. Gossip is one of those things that everybody hates it, and yet at the same time, everybody loves it. Remember the proverb that we just noted in this reading that describes the fact that gossip goes down like tasty trifles, they go down to the inmost body. It's like candy. We enjoy eating it. It's not good for us. There's no nutritional value in it. But we just love to hear gossip. And in some cases, we enjoy spreading gossip. The author Joseph Conrad said that gossip is what no one claims to like, but everybody enjoys. That's a neat trick, isn't it? Nobody likes it, and yet at the same time, we all somehow enjoy it. The humorist Will Rogers said, the only time people dislike gossip is when you gossip about them. Ah, then it's evil. Then it's a nasty, horrible thing when you're the subject of the gossip. But as long as it doesn't involve you, gossip is a great thing, and we enjoy it, do we not? The Bible, of course, as we have seen in these passages and many others that we could look at, clearly condemns gossip. And so because the Bible condemns it, we need to take it seriously as a behavior that jeopardizes our souls. And for that reason, we're going to devote our lesson this morning to the subject of gossip. It's appropriate that we begin this study, of course, as we normally do, something like this, by defining what we're talking about. What is gossip? One author defined gossip as when you hear something you like about someone you don't. Now that fits, doesn't it? We only gossip about the people that we don't really like. The people that we truly love, the people that are close to us and dear to us, we wouldn't dare gossip about them. It's the people that we don't like that we gossip about. Another author said that talking about gossip is talking about a situation with somebody who is neither a part of the solution or a part of the problem. In other words, this person has nothing to do with the situation, but yet we're going to share this information with them for reasons that we'll talk about later on. Actually, the best way to define gossip is to recognize that there are really two key ingredients to gossip. Number one is that gossip always involves negative information about a third party. Have you ever heard gossip that focused on somebody else's virtues? Do we ever gossip about what's good about other people? Well, no, because we recognize that doesn't even fit the definition of gossip. Gossip is universally negative. It involves negative information about others. But another characteristic of gossip is that it's generally done behind the victim's back. We're not going to be upfront about the criticism. We're certainly not going to approach them directly about it, but we're going to talk about them behind their backs. One source that I looked at had an interesting observation that gossip is the mirror image of flattery. And it's defined this way. Gossip is saying behind their back what you would not say to their face, right? What is flattery? Flattery is saying to their face what you would not say behind their back. See how that works? And both of these, by the way, are generally despised. Unless, of course, we're the one doing it, in which case we have extenuating circumstances. But we gossip about people behind their back. We flatter people to their face. And neither of them are conducive to building strong social relationships with people. Why is gossip a sin? Why does the Bible condemn it so soundly? There are two things I'd like for us to consider. Number one is the fact that gossip is destructive. And you probably know this from personal experience, don't you? Gossip blows up friendships. It's poison in a workplace. When you have a group of employees and bosses, managers, they're going around gossiping about each other, it just destroys morale and the productivity in the work group. It takes small issues and turns them into huge dramas. And people just cannot work together. The social fabric decays in an environment in which gossip is rampant. But another thing that makes gossip a sin is something that, frankly, we don't appreciate as much as we should. And that is the fact that gossip involves falsehood. Now, people immediately throw up a defensive wall and say, well, that's just, no, that's not true. I know for a fact, I saw it with my own eyes. What did you see? Well, I'll tell you. It's gospel truth. It actually happened. I saw it. Okay, what version of that truth are you passing along? Well, the real truth. No, not really. Because don't you see that anytime you pass along, especially negative information about somebody else, that truth that you're passing along is going through a filter. You may not intend it this way, but to a greater or lesser extent, you are massaging that truth. You're putting a certain spin on it. You are distorting. You're exaggerating. You're holding back some key information that might change how the picture actually looks. Now, you may not be deliberately doing all of this, but gossip by its very nature, if we're passing along negative information about somebody, We are providing a filter that's going to make that crime, that error, more ghastly than it really is. It almost always involves some kind of a falsehood. And of course, what does the Bible say about bearing false witness against our neighbor? We shouldn't do that. And anytime we're bearing witness against our neighbor that involves something that is bad or wrong in their behavior, chances are pretty good that that witness is false. And think of it this way. You know what a caricature is, right? There's some artists who specialize in caricatures. They take a public figure of some kind, and every one of us have some physical feature that stands out, and what they'll do is take that physical feature and they'll exaggerate it. They'll magnify it. If somebody has, you know, little oversized ears, well then in the cartoons that the artist draws, the caricature, his ears will just be these big Dumbo ears to exaggerate an unfavorable characteristic of that individual. That's a caricature. That's what we almost always do when we gossip about other people. We're taking some aspect of that person's life and we're magnifying it. We're blowing it up out of proportion to the person's whole character. And so what people are looking at is not really a true image of who that person really is. And that is why gossip is such an evil. Well, okay, you convinced me gossip is bad. Why do we do it? Two quotes that I came across, I thought pretty well put a finger on why, excuse me, why we seem to have this need to gossip about others. The English historian Henry Thomas Buckle said, "Great minds discuss ideas. Average minds discuss events. Small minds discuss people." Small minds discuss other people because we didn't have anything bigger to talk about. The author Erica Jong said, "Gossip is the opiate of the oppressed." The opiate, you know, the thing that you take, that you do, that you administer in order to dull the pain that you're dealing with. Those who are oppressed, their opiate, the thing that dulls the pain of their life, of their existence, is gossiping about other people. Now, what both of these authors are saying is simply this. We think that we can make ourselves look better by tearing other people down. Admit it, isn't that the truth? Why is gossip like that tasty trifle that Solomon described that goes down the most part? Why does it taste like candy? Because we are in the process, we think, in tearing somebody else's reputation down in the gossip we spread, we think we're making ourselves feel better. We look better because the other person is so evil. Now, I emphasize, we think that is what is going on, but is it really? What are we accomplishing when we spread gossip about other people? We're not making ourselves look better. We're making ourselves, in the eyes of other people, look small and petty. And we can't even see it. The need to gossip is proportional to our need to validate ourselves. Our propensity to spread gossip about other people's is merely a reflection of how shallow, of how weak, of how distraught our own lives are. It's a reflection of who we are, not the person we're talking about. And we're too blind to see it. And that's why the author said earlier that everybody enjoys gossip until the subject becomes themselves. Look again at that passage that we noted, that we read earlier in Leviticus 19. It starts out in verse 16, "You shall not go about as a talebearer among your people." That word talebearer means gossip. You don't go spreading tales about other people behind their back. You don't do that. So this is just a simple declarative statement in the old law, thou shalt not be a talebearer. You don't gossip. But I want you to notice the context in which that statement is found. He goes on to say, nor shall you take a stand against the life of your neighbor. You shall not reach out your hand to take the life of your neighbor. Nor shall you hate your brother in your heart. Verse 18, nor shall you take vengeance, nor shall you bear a grudge. Do you get a pattern here in this passage? Spreading gossip is just like taking vengeance on your neighbor. It's like raising your hand against your neighbor. You're harming your neighbor. And what did Moses say at the end? You shall not do any of these things, but on the other hand, rather, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You see, when you gossip about other people, you're doing it because you don't love them. You see them as an enemy, somebody that has to be brought down. That puts you on not the Lord's team, but on the other team. God does not want his people engaging in this kind of behavior. Okay, so gossip is a bad thing. It has all kinds of terrible consequences in our lives and the lives of others. But I have a problem with it. I just can't seem to let it go. I struggle with telling these terrible things about other people. So how can I avoid gossip? I'd like for the next few minutes for us to consider four questions. Anytime you come into possession of some information about another person that is very unflattering to them and you're tempted to tell it, to repeat it to other people, I want you to stop and reflect on these four questions. If you'll do this every time that temptation presents itself, I think you'll find the strength to avoid this sin. Question number one, if the roles were reversed in this particular situation, would I want someone spreading this information about me? Now this, of course, is simply an application of what we call the golden rule. What did Jesus say? Whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Do you appreciate it when other people spread information, negative information about you and your flaws to other people? No. Then you don't do it to others. Now that's a simple rule, is it not? That ought to be fairly simple to recognize and to apply in how we talk. So before you blab about what you saw somebody else do, before you share that information to somebody else, stop and think, would I want somebody doing that to me? And if the answer to that question is no, then I better zip my lips and just keep quiet. I don't need to be spreading this because I wouldn't want it to happen to me. Okay? That's question number one. Question number two, have I talked directly to the subject of the gossip I'm about to spread with a view to helping that individual with whatever that problem is I'm about to talk about? And this, too, is reflected from a biblical principle, Galatians 6 and verse 1. Paul says, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. All right, so here's somebody that has committed a trespass. They've stepped in it. They've done something stupid. And it's pretty obvious, you know, I saw it myself. So now what's my obligation according to this passage? To just go over here to somebody else and spread the story of what this individual did? No, Paul says, you go not to somebody else, but go to that person who committed the trespass and talk to them, for the purpose of helping them, of restoring them, of help them overcome whatever their problem is in life. And I do it in a spirit of gentleness, kindness, because I genuinely care about that person. Nobody else needs to know about this. It's not their business. But here is an opportunity that God has placed before me to be of service to a fellow human being who struggles with life just like I do. I owe them that. So So again, before I open my mouth and I'm tempted to share this negative information about what this person has done, I need to ask myself, have I talked directly to this person that I'm about to share the information about? And if the answer to that question is no, again, I need to keep my mouth shut. I need to go to that individual and do what I can to help. And if I don't have the kind of relationship with that person that I can step in and try to offer that help, then I still need to keep my mouth shut. More than ever, I don't have any business sharing that negative information with somebody else. Question number three. Do I love the person I'm talking about? Now notice I did not say, do I like the person that I'm talking about? You don't have to like somebody to love them. In fact, oftentimes the people we're tempted to gossip about are people that we don't like. That's not what I'm asking here. Do I love the person that I'm talking about? Look again at that passage in Leviticus 19. You shall not go about as a talebearer among your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And notice what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, that long, beautiful soliloquy on love and how love is manifested in an individual's life. One of the characteristics of love, Paul says, is that love does not rejoice in iniquity. Now you tell me, if I see my brother mess up and I go over here to share the story of what that person did to somebody else that's not involved, why am I doing that? Am I not rejoicing in iniquity? I'm getting some kind of sadistic delight over watching that person mess up their life, and I get extra enjoyment out of sharing that information with somebody else. Just make that person's life even more miserable. I'm rejoicing in iniquity. And Paul said, if you love somebody, if you really truly love somebody, you're not going to do that. And so again, we have to pose the question, do I love the person that I'm talking about? I may not like the fellow, but do I have the love of God in my heart for this individual and the mess they've made of their lives? Do I have a sense of compassion for them as Jesus had for me? And if the answer to that question is no, he's not the person with the problem. I've got a heart issue. I've got something I need to be working on. So if the answer to the question is yes, I truly have the love of God in my heart for this individual who has made this terrible mistake in their life, that love will prevent me from going around spreading it to other people. I can't do it. I don't have it in me to do such a terrible, horrible thing to them. Okay, that's the third question. Now the fourth question then that we have to ask ourselves is, what is my purpose in telling this? Why am I doing this? Ephesians 4:29, Paul said, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification or building up, strengthening, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Now this applies not just to gossip, but everything that we say, every word that proceeds out of our mouth. I need to stop and ask myself, why am I saying this? Is this in order to edify, to build up, to strengthen people, to impart grace to their lives, to make them feel better, to bring positive vibes into society? Or am I doing it to stick a dagger in this guy's back and twist the knife? Now, if we could just stop and think before we share this kind of information, we could stop and ask ourselves these four questions. It would go a long way toward not just forcing us to stop gossiping, it would force us to really reconsider what's the whole basis of my relationship with people, including those that I don't necessarily like? And if I can really reflect on this, it's going to change my whole attitude toward the people that I'm tempted to gossip about. One more thought that I'd like for us to consider right now, and that is, what about when others come to me with that juicy tidbit that they want to share, and I'm on the receiving end of the gossip? You've probably heard the statement before that the one who will gossip to you about others will also gossip to others about you. Right? Is that person your friend? Is that person a friend who will come to you and want to share some kind of illicit little piece of information about somebody else's foibles? And it may be that tasty trifle that sounds good, and oh, I just can't believe they did that. And that same person is going to do the same thing about you when you make mistakes. That person is not your friend. And so the best way to respond when somebody comes to you and wants to share gossip about someone else is to respond with this simple question. Why are you telling me this? Why are you telling me this? Now, you're not being judgmental in asking that question, but you realize what you are doing. You're putting the burden of responsibility for the transaction that's about to take place here, you're placing it squarely on the shoulders of the individual who's sharing that information. They are the ones that are going to have to struggle now with this question, why am I doing this? And it really just puts all those four earlier questions we just discussed back on their shoulders and forces them to wrestle with this in their own conscience. This person is not your friend if they're willing to spread this kind of information with you about others. And let me just add right here, this is one reason I simply refuse to buy the supermarket tabloids. You know, movie stars and celebrities routinely say that the thing that just grieves them most about their celebrity status is all the salacious gossip that is peddled on supermarket news racks that they have no control over. It's information 80% of which is completely false, totally bogus. And in a few rare cases, they might can sue to get it corrected, but most of the time, it's just trash. And we're going to pay good money for that gossip to be spread? I hope not. Just stay away from that junk. It's not something that people of God need to be involved in. You know, when Jesus Christ came to this earth, He came to live among a race of creatures that were hopelessly corrupt. Among people who made stupid mistakes. And don't you know that if anybody had the kind of material that would make good, juicy gossip, Jesus had that material. He could read minds. Do you know what He could have done with that? Imagine Jesus in approaching His Heavenly Father in a prayer and saying, Father, you have no idea how awful these people are. Why, just the other day, I heard Simon Peter say, blah, 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 blah. Now, can you imagine Jesus doing that? I can. It was not in the character of the man to stoop that low, to engage in that kind of stuff. He, of course, didn't do that. Instead, He showed compassion. He taught those who were lost. He forgave the fallen. He showed kindness to thousands of people who did not deserve that kindness. And what did He get for all of that? He became the object of gossip Himself. The kind of gossip that was so vicious, so vile, that it led the perpetrators to eventually plot to have him executed. And in that, they were successful. In his death, Jesus freed us from the need to run each other down. Don't you see? Our worth, my worth, your worth is no longer tied to the destruction of others, but it's based upon the love of the one who is willing to take the curse for us. Watch what you say. More importantly, why you say it. If there's anything that we can do this morning to help you, your attempt to overcome the various problems and faults that all of us struggle with in this life. We are here to help you. We understand. If we can help you in any way, won't you come forward as we stand and sing the invitation song?
Stand up, stand up.